Hello and welcome. I'm Dustin. Just kidding, I'm Day. I'm back, baby. All-Star Week. I'm only here with Mikey, though. Mikey, it's just us two. No Dusty Boy.
Yeah, I don't even know where he is.
He's on his fifth vacation for the summer. That was not a hater comment. I support it. I wish he'd invite us to one of these like yacht trips.
We're not cool enough. Hey, you've been on your fair share of trips too.
Whoa, work trips, Mikey. Work trips. Trips that are paid for.
That's fair. I have been on none. I went to SF in February. That's about it. Does Portland count?
SF has a lot of Filipinos, right?
Yeah, hella.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do one more on Monday. But he'll be back for that. Never Sunny in Seattle podcast. This is episode 91, I believe. Love that number, 91. That's my birth year.
Shouts out.
Yep, 90s, baby.
You're 30. You're 31.
You're 31. 32. I'm turning 32 in a month. I'm a Leo.
Oh,
which
man.
Is why I had to let you know. Mikey, it is pretty. So I live in like the downtown Pioneer Square Soto area. I just named three neighborhoods for safety. Well, I will tell you, I'm pretty close to all the All-Star festivities, and it is bumping. Like, the city really feels, I mean, I'm sure it's nothing compared to, like, I don't know, All-Star Week in LA or New York, Chicago or whatever, but it's pretty cool. My brother and I entered a wiffle ball home run derby yesterday.
Where?
In Pioneer Square.
No way.
The winner got two tickets to the home run derby. And I wanted it so bad. I called my brother. I was like, get your ass here. We're pitching to each other. We're entering this wiffle ball home run derby. Dude, so when I first heard about it, it was around 3 o'clock, and the leader had about 8 home runs. And I was like, 8 home runs in 90 seconds. Like, maybe, you know. When by the time we came back, I got my brother. The leader was at, it was still like around 10, but these two little league kids came up. They little league, middle school, they're like 8th graders. And let me tell you, this tournament is built for them. They're like practicing every day for like 5 hours. They have that like new puberty strength. They got the peach fuzz. They're wearing like dry fit shirts with the Oakley glasses. Like, it's over. You know, I saw them and I was like, we're fucked.
Did you get beat by 13-year-olds?
Well, the leader was 10. The little league kid got 16.
Dude.
Fucking raked. And I got 12, Mikey. I got third. I lost to him, but
wow.
I beat the previous leader. My brother, who is a D1 athlete, you know, went to UW, pitched for UW. He got 4.
I can't believe.
I kicked his ass.
That y'all got edged out by the 10-year-old.
Dude, 8th grade, 12.
You said peach fuzz. Like, it's not even.
There's
like
no 10-year-old having peach fuzz. This combo got weird. What are you talking about? 10-year-olds don't have peach fuzz. Bro, the iPhones really be putting the radiation in these kids. Oh, my God.
The good news. So, I mean, that's, in my opinion, like, Soto, Pioneer Square, I'm not a fan of, like, I'm not going to go hang out there, right? Like, that's not a hot take. So I am interested to hear that it's buzzing. There's people out and about.
I ran into Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park.
Yeah, dude, I was just like, what? Where did you see him? I was a little bit surprised it was in Seattle because I didn't know if you were in town or not. But.
Well, so we weren't in that area, but my brother and I were in Capitol Hill, Hat Club, which is like a really dope custom owned by Lids New Era. But anyway, they make like custom cool like fitted baseball hats, right? All My brother's really into that. I'm less so. He dresses me. We went to go pick up some exclusive Mariners All-Star Week Hat Club hats. And my brother, like, bought the wrong size, so he had to go back and exchange. And he, like, 2 seconds after he left the car, he calls me. He's like, get your ass here. I think it's Mike Shinoda. I was like, who? Oh, Linkin Park.
How dare you?
And I rest in peace, Chester. You know, I love Linkin Park. I mean, they shaped our childhoods. And their first couple albums are really good until they got on Transformers movie soundtrack. And then it was over.
It's true, honestly, though, because the first two are goated. The rest are like, I don't know, man. The first two, like, I don't consider them new metal. But a perfect blend of
new metal is so generous.
Yeah. I think Mike Shinoda's bars have always been kind of corny, but it just, like, kind of fit, you know? Chester was just so good. But it was a perfect blend of whatever, you know, genre. And then the rest was not. So
Lab was forward thinking. Ahead of its time. Yeah, Linkin Park was cool. I mean, maybe. Yeah, as soon as you heard Chester's voice over the Bumblebee montage at the end, it's, you know, they got the bag. It's fine. Watching old Linkin Park concert footage in, like, Mexico City or places like that, where it's like, it looks like 100,000 people just screaming their heads off, is pretty, it gives me goosebumps still. I'm not going to lie. Speaking of celebrities in Seattle this week, the celebrity All-Star Game lineup is, I think the most famous person is, like, Joel McHale or that guy from Workaholics.
The celebrity All-Star Game, or whatever you call it, is so uninteresting to me. Like,
you love celebrities, though.
I don't even always want to watch the Mariners play, and they're professionals. If I wanted to watch a bunch of, like, people who are bad at softball, I would just go to I would just go to Green Lake on Sundays and watch people play in the, you know.
Okay. Can I just please do something real quick, okay?
Please.
Can I just quickly read you the list, the roster for the Celebrity All-Star Game, and you tell me how many people you know or recognize, okay?
All right, let's do it.
I'm not going to tell you what they're known for. I'm just going to give you the name. Okay, Joel McHale, Adam Devine, Skylar Astin, Chloe Kim, Natasha Watley, Jenny Finch, Christian Nodal. This is getting really boring because these people are so bad. How many of them have you known so far?
2.5.
Chloe Kim. You know Chloe Kim.
Is that from Chloe and whatever?
No, I think it's the Olympic.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, the Winter Games. I think she's a snowboarder. She's like the young teen phenom. Jojo Siwa? Come on.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
This is Nickelodeon. Are we going to get slimed?
I don't think she was. Anyway, Rodrigo, soccer player.
Olivia? Oh.
You wish.
It's like our Filipina queen.
Felix Hernandez, Brett Boone, what? Mike Cameron.
What? They're playing in the game?
They're playing. Brett Boone is playing, Mikey.
Brett Boone might kill someone. Mike Cameron might kill someone. Are they going to bat lefty? Someone's going to die. Jojo Siwa is going to get hit by a liner.
Oh, God. My point is, it's pretty sad. And it's like, well, this is the most D-list list I've ever heard of in my life. I mean, Joel McHale's pretty known, and he's from Seattle.
I don't know, dude. All-Star Week is pretty fucking boring to me. Like, I just, it might be fun to be there, but, like, the Home Run Derby, I think they've done a good job turning it into an actual exciting event. Mm-hmm. The All-Star Game is...
I'm really bummed I'm not going to the Derby. I'm really bummed.
Yeah, we got to get out there and shake balls.
I know. They should have invited us to Shag Balls.
It's fucked up. I'll ask Paul Sewald. But yeah, fuck All-Star Week.
We got a couple more players in at least. J-Rod's in. Kirby's in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy for them. Especially, I don't know, Kirby, because he hasn't been in. But
Sewald still hasn't gotten in?
No, I doubt he will.
That's a lame.
Whatever. He gets to rest. Let's talk about something actually exciting.
All right, that's enough All-Star. It's a good break for the players.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Roop Grape. Roop Grape asks, I would love to hear y'all gush about Mike Ford and the endless river of pitching flowing from the minors. Adcock, Campbell. Hancock had a bad last outing that was a topic on Twitter. Did you catch that discourse?
No, but I'm seeing now that he gave up 9 runs over 1.2 1 2/3 innings.
Yeah, I think there was an argument about, like, I forgot which account it was. It was one of those Mariner accounts that were like, this is the guy you wanted called up instead of, I already forgot. And then, yeah, I don't know, people were arguing. Very upset.
I am kind of buying into Mike Ford. I heard Angie Mentink on the broadcast talk about how he's trying to keep his like head more level through his swing and has kind of ditched this, like, I kind of think of it like a Ben Gamel kind of hesitation leg kick. And he's traded it out for more of a toe tap, where rather than just kind of getting his weight back and hanging his front leg in the air through a swing, he's stepping back towards his back foot with, you know, kind of a toe tap mechanism, and then going, you know, stepping out towards the pitcher. I went back, and it looks like he switched it out on the 24th of June, which looks like 2 weeks ago to the day. Just to, you know, compare his stats since. So it's actually very nice. We have 43 plate appearances pre-toe tap and since post-toe tap. Not the biggest, you know, sample ever, but with pre-toe tap, had a 68 WRC plus. I mean, walk percentage was 2%, strikeout percentage was 37%. Basically, only hit for power. So, like, I think almost literally only hit home runs. And to me, that just says when he makes contact with the ball, you know, he's hitting it for a home run, but he mostly wasn't hitting, you know, making contact with the ball. Since then, has upped his walk percentage to almost 12%. Strikeout rate is down to 23%. Exit velo numbers are up. His WRC plus since folding in the toe tap is 263. Let's take out his last game because he hit a home run against a position player. Walk rate is 8. Strikeout rate is 26%. WRC plus is 211. I'm kind of a believer in this. It's encouraging to me that he has hit, yeah, some non-home runs. So I kind of think that Mike Ford is going to be a legitimate contributor, at least against right-handed hitters. maybe, you know, adjustments are made to him, but overall, I think, I believe in, you know, the batted ball stuff as an improvement, and I think the plate discipline numbers have also, we're seeing, you know, him kind of cut down on some chases, be more aggressive in the zone, and yeah, I'm encouraged. So that's where I'm at with Mike Ford.
Remind me again, what was he doing before the toe tap?
It's kind of what I was explaining. Like it was like a really long, like, I don't know if I'd quite call it a leg kick. It's just like he's picking his left or his right leg up in the air and bringing it back. And it's kind of just floating in the air where he's bringing it back, and then it just floats kind of into his step and swing. I can see why, you know, it would be a thing where he's not seeing the ball so well, where he's not making consistent contact, because I don't know, you know, like, baseball isn't cookie cutter. You, like, some things work for players and some things don't. And it seems like that was not working for Mike Ford. And based on, you know, based on his numbers over the years, like, it makes sense that this might work in the minor leagues, but gets exposed against some, you know, major league pitching. So
have all the Mariners just got rid of the leg kick at once? I mean, Kelnick just did this too, right?
I'm sure it's something that's individual. It makes sense with, and yeah, I'm glad that you brought up Kelnick too, because I don't, Gravel Sense, I think, is the Twitter account, or Gravel. I know someone named Gravel. Yeah, Kelnick has shortened his leg kick a little bit, which I think makes his swing look better. I sent it over to Esty Rivera, who I think was our second guest after you joined the pod. And he said, yeah, definitely looks better than the clipped video in the next suite, which was the swing from the day before. And he just says he looks super different and he needs to get back with his hitting coach. So I think expect Kelnick to do that during the All-Star week. But yeah, it makes sense if he's, you know, swinging and missing and not making consistent contact, that you simplify your mechanics. And that's what Kelnick has done. So encouraged about the both of them.
Beho Lee asks, have you seen anything from Wong lately that suggests he's turning it around? Our boy Colton, never stop believing. I just want to point out his hot streak kind of started when his little brother Keen hit the home run in the first of his professional career.
What hot streak?
He's on a hot streak.
He's had two multi-hit games.
He's on a hot streak.
June 22nd.
Wow, dude. Where's your aloha, man?
I'm sorry. Okay. Another thing that I'm really noticing with a lot of Mariners hitters is like what Colton Wong is missing, because I think he's historically been a better hitter than his like ex-WOBA has suggested, is again like the pull side power, if you want to call it, the pull side home runs. And if you do look at his numbers, he was not pulling the ball very much. He's starting to again, like, I don't know, maybe that's a thing. I think he is turning it around. To what extent, like, I don't know. But I think if you're going to make an upgrade, it's in the outfield and it's at second base or DH. So sorry to Colton Wong. I kind of think that he'll get more towards league average. But I think if you're the Mariners, like, you want something more certain.
Would you trust Ty France at second?
My official opinion is fuck no.
I mean, he's played it. I'm only asking because I want to get to these potential card trades. There's been some, like, you know, potential veteran all-star caliber first baseman. I know you said second is a need, but I just think if we want hitting, you know, filling a place like first base would be a lot easier than second. I'm sure there's some targets out there. Like I said, I just tweeted, we're going to overpay for Tommy Edman. And that's, we're going to call it.
Hey, spoiler.
Hey, that dude's he played for Team Korea. A lot of respect.
Okay, let's see. Since June 22nd, let's just see what Colton Wong's numbers are. 80 WRC plus. And that's, I feel like that's like generous to sort it since his,
it's prime Chris Bryant numbers. the king of all performing.
What are we doing with AJ Pollock?
I don't know. What are we doing with AJ Pollock?
He's had 27 plate appearances since June 1st.
I'm not going to lie. I thought we DFA'd him. That's why when you asked, I was we still have him.
That's reasonable. It's wild, too, because it's the biggest contract we had given out since Nori Aoki.
Wow. that was a loaded statement. Was that beginning the Poto era, or was that just before?
I believe that was the Poto.
If you were to just say that statement about any other GM, wouldn't you assume they'd be fired?
Yeah, kind of.
This GM offered in 2023 the team's largest contract to AJ Pollock, who has had 26 plate appearances in the last 6 years. And the contract has only been this large since Nori Aoki.
Is that better in leadership? To answer this question, yeah. I think Wong is getting closer. I think the Mariners should move on from probably Pollock and him. Sorry, Day.
Well, he's going to get picked up and he's going to just start. Maybe he can be in the Cards trade. A homecoming.
I forgot about that. Yeah, let's... We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Azriel asks, how confident are you in the team making the playoffs given their recent performance day? How confident are you?
We've won 6 of 7. We finally are over 500. We kind of demolished a Altuve, Yordan, less Astros team. But nonetheless, big wins. Had good showings against, I mean, the Giants, they're playing well this year. Those weren't easy games. I think I'm at about a C+. It's definitely not doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom, you say?
What about you? You confident?
I mean, you know, let's pull this up. In the past month, I'm just going to keep using WRC+. JP Crawford, 163. Suarez, 138. Mike Ford, 192. Julio, 103. Teoscar, 130. Like, the bats are starting to come around. It's the black holes. Cal Raleigh, 104. It's needing to replace the production of Kelnick, 75, and Wong, 72. Because the pitching's going to be all right. And I think we're going to kind of get to that, but that's really like what it's been all along, is you have to get some level of contributions from all 9 spots, or at least, you know, 8 of them. I think that means finding a better platoon bat for Kelnick, or, you know, just replacing him, which I think would be a good move. You could probably push Teoscar to a DH spot and get value out of a better right fielder and also a hitter. And then I think Wong needs to be replaced, and it's not by Caballero, who has not hit in the last month. So I think they need to make an impact trade. I don't think that's like a hot take.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we were in the Central, because... I don't know. I mean, a part of me almost feels like 3 teams make it now, right? With the expanded playoffs, the wild card slots. And so, I mean, we're looking at like having to, the East is so stacked. Baltimore looks good. New York is New York. And then, you know, there's Houston and Texas with their lead. A part of me almost feels like we got to win the division. I guess it's also how serious these Astros injuries are as well. Good this year.
Yeah. Well, I think Texas is starting to cool down a little bit.
They're looking to make a big trade, though, for an arm.
Yeah, which is a bummer. There's
been some Dylan Cease buzz.
Yeah, which is scary, because, I mean, it is their pitching that has just not been great. Like, let me pull up their numbers. I mean, it's still just Dane Dunning just going ham. I'm pretty sure Heaney got touched up today.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust Andrew Heaney.
I don't know, man. Yeah, Martin Perez has not been good.
Is Nathan still injured?
Eovaldi, he's been solid for the past. I'm just pulling up like past month splits, but regardless, I think they can wiggle their way into a wild card spot. They are in decent position. They just you have to make a legitimate offensive upgrade, or else you're not going to make the playoffs.
Should we talk some trade deadline stuff before we wrap on that note?
Yeah, I think we should.
Let's go backwards a little bit with the trade that was made a couple days ago. Our boy Trevor Gott, you just informed me before we hit record, is now DFA'd by the Mets?
Flexen got DFA'd yesterday. Oh my gosh.
My boy might need to go back to Korea.
I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but my Alexa Echo Dot is talking from the bathroom.
Yeah, I do not hear your Alexa AI bot.
Yeah, I should have closed my door. That was weird.
Trevor Gott, dude, what was that trade? Why?
I mean, it's the Mets' way of acquiring. Let me go look at their bullpen. Acquiring who I think is a. I think Rosenthal called him a league average reliever. I just think that's silly. His xERA is 307. His FIP or FIP is 302. He's been good. Above average K percentage, below or better than average walk percentage, and induces really weak contact. Like, I think that's a good player, and I think he's been a little unlucky, which is why his ERA is higher than his xERA. Clearly, with them DFAing Flexen, that is... It just shows the Mariners were trading him to shed salary, and the Mets were trading for him to take on salary. But shout out to Clay Winstead. I was looking for a quote about it, and I think it's Rosenthal at The Athletic. In regards to the trade, the Mariners' motivation for the deal, according to major league sources who were granted anonymity so they could speak candidly, was to increase their payroll flexibility for the deadline. I mean, they saved $4.5 million by trading Gott and Flexen. Gott's like I think they give him a $1 million deal. Flexen's more towards like eight. Yeah, kind of talks about, you know, putting them in position to take on salary. So rather than, you know, good prospects, just having the flexibility to take on cash. And I think a lot of this is annoying because you think about the Cano trade, and the big thing about that was, you moved an albatross of a contract that wasn't supposed to be moved in order to have more, you know, financial flexibility. They didn't really use any of that, you could argue, at all. So if the Mariners don't take on cash this deadline, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I really loved Gott, too. I mean, I think anyone who listens to the pod can speak to my excitement when we got him, even more so than Justin Topa. So I'm disappointed that he is gone. I think he is a really good reliever, but if it means they can add a bat, I think it is exciting. As for Zach Muckenhern, I mean...
Tell us about the muck, man.
I mean, they had DFA'd him, so the Mets had. So I don't know that he even has traits that the Mariners are super interested in. I think it was just, you know, kind of coincidental to some extent. He kind of has interesting traits. He throws out of a, I think he gets down the, if I remember correctly, gets down the mound pretty well. Higher arm slot, but lower, low-ish release. Maybe some pitch tweaks the Mariners want to do with him. But again, I think he's just kind of depth. He's a reliever. Yeah, I don't think there's much to
mock, man.
Yeah, there's not much to say about him.
Mocking him.
I guess the last thing I'll say is Service said, this gives Chris Flexen an opportunity to get rebooted there. LOL. Trevor Gott, he did some good things for us. I thought he made some really nice improvements. That was a really good pickup for us in the offseason. But this is an opportunity for those guys to go elsewhere. In the meantime, we get a player back, and we will use a couple of different players to fill that extra bullpen spot as we go forward. One of which, you know, is Isaiah Campbell. And Ty Adcock had gotten called up probably a week before this, something like that. So you'd hope, you know, it's a good example of if trading from a surplus. And Gott, I think maybe we had talked about last pod, has like 1 year of arbitration after this, maybe. Yeah, they better fill it with it, a bat.
Well, we got arms to give. And apparently the Mariners discourse universe is claiming, and also reporters close with the team, the only untouchable is George Kirby. I mean, I guess, would you say Castillo's untouchable at this point?
I mean, it doesn't really make sense for them to move him. The reason why you go out and get him is because he's an ace. He's you know, a top tier starting pitcher that you can't really just go out and get.
And they gave up a lot. If we're making trades to win now, you're not trading Castillo. But yeah, some of these younger arms, Kirby just made his first All-Star team. Does that make sense to you that everyone else is available? Would you trade Kirby for the right price?
I think you trade anyone for the right price, but it's like, who's going to do that, I guess? Yeah, I think...
Well, the Cards are signing Chris Flexen in 48 hours, so, you know, that's...
they might.
They are. I mean, I'm telling you right now, they are.
They... Probably, I mean, they should wait for him to clear and then sign him, I think, but they need starters bad. So, which is why, do you want to read off the report from, or I don't know if it's quite a report. Well, it kind of is, from John Morosi.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically saying that the Mariners and the Cardinals have been in conversation. Kirby seems to be a no-go. I mean, this man is dropping names like Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, not making the Cards fans happy. But I don't know. You know, if pitchers like Logan Gilbert are on the table, Brian Wu, Bryce Miller, you know, I mean, they're going to have to give up something. I mean, more than I hope Brendan Donovan or... What the hell is the other guy's name? They all kind of like look the same too. Like lumberjack white men that are like 5'10".
Are you thinking Nolan Gorman?
No. The Burleson?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if they're trading Nootbaar. You know, they have... I'm telling you, they have a lot of those guys. Anyway, what is a trade with... to you, if they truly are talking?
Okay, so something I've been thinking about lately is the Mariners are going to lose Brian Wu at some point this season because he's already reached his
that's a good point,
his innings from last year.
What are we thinking, like 115? They shut him down?
I don't even know. I mean, I think it was like 70. So maybe somewhere around there. I think they're going to take it really slow with him, give him off days, send him down to Tacoma, and give him shortened outings. But I think if we're talking about who it makes sense for the Mariners to trade for a team that wants to win this season and also in the future, Brian Woo's probably that guy. I think next is probably Bryce Miller, which again makes sense. Like, your youngest guys should be the ones that you're dealing from, especially if you don't believe in one of the two. I'm actually going to be writing about Brian Woo over the weekend, and that's probably going to go out the first day or two. Hey,
the Woo Woo train finally gets worthy enough for Mikey's pen, baby. Woo Woo. Woo Woo. Mr. Family Man. I love Brian.
Him and his sister.
Would you trade Brian Woo for Joey Votto and Jonathan Theo?
Fuck no, baby.
You wouldn't do it?
Nah.
You trade him for Goldie?
Not straight up.
So Goldie and one of those miniature Paul Bunyan guys.
Should we check what's it called? Baseball Trade Simulator.
Put it in the trade machine.
Trade MLB. I'm just gonna type it. I don't remember what it's called. Baseball trade values. All right. Let's see. We got the Mariners. No, we got the Cardinals. Team two, the Mariners. Okay. Goldie. And let's go Gorman to the Mariners.
Oh, my God. Nolan Gorman. If we get Nolan Gorman, I'm going crazy. Fuck it. Give up Kirby. Give up Kirby and Castillo. Throw in Bryce Miller, too. Give us Nolan Gorman, 45%. Airs. He's dropping moonshot.
I think you'd have to give up Gilbert for that package. That's not great.
What's the package right now in the machine?
It is Logan Gilbert for Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Gorman, which is, I mean, depends on how much. Like, I think Logan Gilbert is good. The Cardinals need young pitching. They have people who can play third and second and DH, which is where Gorman plays. Goldschmidt is 35. I think it makes enough sense for both teams and the trade simulator.
Do you like
it? I don't. Yeah. I mean, I really like Gorman. He, I think, has cooled down a lot lately. I'm just going to type in his number, see what he's done in the past.
What if we throw in Hancock, but we get Jack Flaherty?
I don't know if I want Jack Flaherty. He seems fucking washed. Gorman has been very bad since June 1st. So maybe he has not figured it out.
Gorman has been striking out every other at bat for like the last 6 weeks. It's been bad.
Yeah, it's 40, literally almost 40%.
No, that's why I'm not joking about the strikeout rate. That's what he's been doing. It's been bad, trust me, but the value is low.
Yeah. I don't know how much the Cardinals want to trade Gorman or Donovan, but those are the guys that play second. I think Gorman.
Excuse me, Mike. Second.
Huh?
He plays everywhere.
Who?
Edman. Mr. Korea. Oh, God.
Yeah, I really fucking hope they don't trade for Tommy Edman. I really fucking hope. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this for like multiple times over the past, I think, month or two. It makes a lot of sense, I think, for these teams. The Cardinals have been pretty fucking bad, like about as bad as the Rockies. Their hitting has been good. Their bats are cooling down, and with their bats cooling down, their pitching, you know, has not been good. Their best pitcher this year has been Jordan Montgomery, and I think he had some kind of injury. so it's a good time to move on from I think from a young hitter and get young pitching, because they don't have any exciting young pitching ? I kind of expect, I mean, maybe it makes too much sense for it to happen, but Morosi says they're having conversations, which isn't anything huge. I think they have a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and I think it makes sense that a major outlet is reporting this, given that it makes so much sense. But Goldie is that type of bat that you can... I mean, just like a smart dude, a fun dude, good leader. I think you could get someone like Gorman, or I don't know how much I love Alec Burleson, which is to say I don't really love him. I kind of feel like it's more likely that they would get a guy like Edman or Burleson, which is not super exciting for me.
You trading Kirby for Jordan Walker straight up?
No. I don't really know that I love Jordan Walker. Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll probably be a really, you know, quite a good player, but he needs to make more contact, and his fielding sucks. Maybe it's because he's just not... Yeah, I don't know. His outfield defense is really bad. Yeah, I think if you're the Mariners, you... they just sent me a picture of Brendan Donovan in our private podcast channel. And
yeah, a.k.a. Young Paul Bunyans. I'm sending you Burleson now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Nothing, they look nothing alike. They have
they look nothing alike, except they have the same...
Burleson does have the like lumberjack look, Donovan, I don't know, they have beards and long-ish hair.
You're in denial.
Anyways, I just, Logan Gilbert is like the name that John Morosi floated. I actually brought that up to Dustin. Like, I don't remember if that segment got cut or what, but are you going to move one of your like success story starting pitchers who has a great relationship with the team, and again, guys like Cal Raleigh, who are like brothers, when you have Wu, who's not going to finish the season, and you have Bryce Miller, who's currently on the IL. I don't see it completely. And I guess what I was going to mention earlier is I actually see the Mariners, unless we see them calling up Hancock, I actually see them going out and getting a number 4 or 5 type.
See, that's what I was asking about, like Miles Mikolas and Jack Flaherty. I don't necessarily think we're just going to do bats for arms. I could see us sneaking in a rotation guy too, right?
I mean, Jack Flaherty... That man was throwing like 85 the other week.
He's still pretty young, you know, coming off some pretty big injuries. I feel like lately he's looked better.
I'm cool off Jack Flaherty unless the price is nice.
All right, keep talking shit about him. We're gonna get Adam Wainwright.
Luckily, he's in the IL. I don't know, man. I do foresee the Mariners acquiring a back-end rotation guy and or two if you're trading Gilbert. So maybe they'll be pretty active. But I think it's exciting that they're linked. I don't know that anything gets done. I feel like it makes too much sense. Also, who is this guy that you just sent me a picture of on the top?
Shit, they're all Brendan Donovan, bro.
No, they're not.
I sent you five players are all Brendan Donovan.
Who was the guy with the cornrows?
Brendan Donovan.
That is okay. It is time for the Mariners to start in about an hour. I have to eat. I haven't really eaten enough. I think my dad's dropping me off some food.
I'm about to go to a birthday party too. Oh my God. Yeah. You're COVID quarantine. Did you test positive?
No. Yeah, I'm playing it safe. My brother tested positive. I was in the car with him for like an hour plus. We had the windows down at first, and then on the way home
from driving Tacoma, or like sitting
driving. So he had a mask on, a good like KN95. I had my mask off for part of the time.
Oh, you already knew he had COVID, anyways.
No, we didn't know. If we had, the windows would have been down. I would have had my fucking head out the window like a dog.
Wait, but he just wears a mask in the car with you? That's pretty thoughtful.
Well, it when we're alone, we don't mask together. We were with his partner and another friend, and I don't know our friend's kind of, I don't know if she's, I mean, a compromise or what, but she's really good about wearing a mask. So
Oh, cool.
Try and be mindful around her. Yeah, for sure, but for sure. Yeah, so I'm.
So you guys have like a double date thing?
No. Oh, sorry. I'm considering. I have some shroom capsules. I'm like, should I?
All my friends have been shrooming a lot this past week. It's like shrooms are all around me, and I've always had the driver, so I haven't really take it, but. Everyone's just having a blast, and I'm learning like the different types. Like they're taking the golden teacher, which is supposed to be really like,
I have a reflective. Shirt. I have a shirt that says that. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get it at Tricolme?
I did.
Chrissy has that same shirt from Tricolme.
Is it like purplish?
Oh no, hers is golden. Or like it's like, damn, it's like fire. Red. It's like red dirt color, you know.
Dang, we all need to hang out after I'm off quarantine.
For sure. We'll do some golden teachers. We'll do a pod on golden teachers.
I'm going to holler at you after this about that because my plug is gone. It literally was like an Instagram account with a website, and I just bought it off the website, and they delivered it to my house, and they got shut down, I think. So.
Wow. Damn. Rip.
I need it. But, yeah, I think, you know, this is actually a pretty full pod, but I think the turnaround is going to be pretty quick. I think we're going to get Dustin back Sunday or Monday or something like that. Day, we're happy to have you back. I think he missed two podcasts.
For sure.
So.
Yeah. Shout out to my dog, man. My dog passed away. My dude, my right hand, my shadow, my dog version of me. If you knew me personally, you probably knew Bruno. It was tough, man. Having a pet, it's, especially as they get older, it's always like somewhat on the back of your mind that like the day's inevitable. But man, you just aren't prepared to lose a best bud like that.
Yeah, dude. I mean, personally speaking, I think my grief losing my cat, Benny, a couple years ago was like, in some ways, harder than human deaths I've had.
That's what people say, you know, and, you know, definitely don't want to undermine losing like a close friend or family member, but your pets are, the thing I realize is your pets are with you more than any human is ever with you. And so when you lose, And obviously they become family members, and when you lose a pet like that, it's hard to relearn how to live life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, now my other dog, and we've been bonding more. He's really like, he's always kind of been more Chrissy's dog. I mean, like Nico and I are, you know, we get along, like he's my dog. Just like, I don't know. It's been interesting. So I just bought him a little skateboard. We're going to try that.
Dude, I'm going to try to
exploit the shit out of him. Get him viral on TikTok. No, no, no. I'm kidding. I love Nico, but he will learn how to skateboard and kickflip by the end of the year.
I need to see this. Also, I think one thing that I'm trying to plug more are the organizing things happening in town. I just want to shout out a lot of events happening over the next couple weeks. Malaya Movement and Bayan Seattle, which I'm my organization, Anak Bayan, is a member org of, are collaborating to have a, I think they're calling it the Golden Years Exhibit. And it's basically about, you know, in the 70s, Marcos Sr. was a dictator who ruled for basically 2 decades, I think about 19 years. And he imposed martial law for, I think, officially about nearly 9 years, but effectively for like 15. And his son is now the president. And they're really trying to, the family is really trying to engage in a lot of disinformation, which, you know, means deliberately misinforming people by calling, you know, like having the audacity to call that time frame the Golden Years. And so we have the opportunity to, opening night was last night, and I'm really sad I couldn't go, but there's a lot of original martial law era photos that I don't know if they have really been released before that are up in a space in Pioneer Square. We're going to have several events over the next couple weeks while it's open. And one of them is a movie screening of a movie called Horas de Peligro, which just means like Hour of Danger, which is an original, like a new film that we have early access to about a family during martial law as well. And it's kind of like, I think, what do you call it? Historical fiction? Like it's based on true events that happened then, but not like, you know, like a real family. But yeah, if you look up Malaya Movement or Bayan Seattle, B-A-Y-A-N, on Instagram, you can get plugged in with a lot of these events. Please feel free to hit me up. I mean, I think I'm really more than happy to get folks plugged in with finding a political home, a political organization, which I've been able to do with a lot of friends. So that's happening over the next couple of weeks. And then on the 23rd, on Sunday, we're having the People's State of the Nation Address, PSONA, which is essentially a response to the State of the Nation Address from Bongbong Marcos, which will be happening, I believe, the same day or the day before, to combat, you know, really like tit-for-tat propaganda to combat his disinformation. So that's happening on the 23rd. Lots of exciting stuff. And then I think the last thing, APEC is a set of neoliberal ministerial meetings are happening, have been happening for months, and one of them's coming to Seattle in late July and early August. So I think if you go to pnw-pop.com, it's the Pacific Northwest People Over Profit. We're really, you know, have a big thrust to combat these, really these meetings that are happening, and there's going to be an all leader summit in November, are essentially like these neoliberal schemes to, you know, that disproportionately affect working class people in the Asia Pacific. So, you know, like places that a lot of us call home, like our homelands, like Day and I, and really just a way for imperialist powers like China and the US to really, you know, line their pockets at the expense of poorer countries like the Philippines and the people who make the money, you know, for these capitalists and these corporations and imperialists, like working class people and peasants. So those things are all happening. Maybe I can drop those in the description, but would love if people would reach out and see, you know, what they can do if they want to get involved. I've been having conversations with friends and friends of friends lately about things coming up. So that was a lot, but you know, when I'm not tweeting or doing this or writing or working, I guess I'm organizing. So
thanks, man. It's good to yeah. It's good to help people find organizational homes. No experience necessary.
That's right. Dustin has come out to I think an event last year, and Day, I'm gonna get you out to APEC later this month. So that's the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation, if folks want to look it up. But that's what I got.
Let's get it. Well, that's it for us. Thanks, Mikey, for the plugs. Dustin will be back next episode. I think we'll try to do one early next week. We'll do more of a where are the Mariners at now, you know, half season recap, preview for the next couple of months. And yeah, what it will take for the Mariners to hopefully make a run into the postseason.
Yeah, hopefully by the next time we record, we'll have acquired one of the versions of Brendan Donovan.
Don't forget to subscribe, like 5 stars, unless you're Gouda Shark.
Unless you're Gouda Shark, it's true.